So, today is Happy Easter. It's kind of like saying Merry Christmas. I'm not sure everybody knows exactly what we mean by Happy Easter. And I know the little kids love the bunnies and the eggs and all of the goodies and the candies. And the candies come very well rounded. But it's more than just that. As Brother John mentioned, it is a time of renewal. It does happen in this time of the year. But I want to look at it in a little bit different way. We're going to look at after the third night, the dawning of the third day, the day that he was raised. One simple day in the time of humanity. In all of time, a millisecond at the most. Nanosecond, as they're expressed today. The third day, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James and Salome. Mary Magdalene was the first to come to the grave. And what's interesting, and what we find out, is she got there very early, before the sun had risen, before the earthquake. No, excuse me, after the earthquake. But very early in the morning. God bless women that get up early in the morning. We can't do without them, believe me. We cannot do without them. Especially when we have children and they get up early to take after him while us guys continue to snore. Yes, we get up sometimes, but a lot of times we just continue to snore. But Mary Magdalene loved her Lord greatly. And she was anxious. She wanted to see her Lord. Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought spices prior to this day, and they had prepared them. They also came to the tomb, and they were greeted by angels, two of them, who told them, simply, he's not here. He's risen, as he said. In John, we're told, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and sees the stone had been taken away from the tomb. The other two women were talking about, well, how can this stone be taken away? Who's going to help us? In fact, Mary Magdalene sees the stone taken away, runs back to get Peter and the one whom Jesus loved. And Peter and the one whom Jesus loved run to the tomb to look at it. And then they go back home and go to bed. Mary continues to stay there, weeping. But the first act, before anybody else, was God's. Matthew chapter 28, verses 2 to 3. If you can look that up, please. Matteo 28, verses 2 and 3. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the guards trembled, became like dead men. There was nobody there except the guards. Here's a thought. Is it possible that the only way we have the account of this is that one of the guards, in fact, remembered it and was converted and told it to Matthew or to Luke or to other of the apostles? Because some of them go back, and we hear that later, and they tell the councils and the chief priests, and of course we know what they do with that message. They bribe them and say, shut up, tell them everybody you fell asleep. And they came and stole them. Just a thought. We also get a view of the lengths to which men of the world, evil men, the individuals that sought to kill Christ and in fact succeeded in killing him, what they did. Matthew chapter 27, verses 62 through 66. Matteo 27, versete 62. Next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, Sir, we remember how that impostor said, while he was still alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Therefore, order the sepulchre to be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples go and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. And the last fraud will be worse than the first. Pilate says to them, You have guards of soldiers. Go make it secure as you can. So they went and made the sepulchre secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. And that lie is perpetuated when, while they were going, that is, while the women were going back, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place about the earthquake and the angel with the look of lightning and the white as snow. And when they assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sum of money to the soldiers and said, Tell people his disciples came by night and stole him away while we are asleep. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread among the Jews to this day. So they perpetuated a lie in order to mask the lie. And he tells them, the angel tells the women, go to Galilee, tell the apostles I'm going to meet them there. I'm not sure why, but the apostles are recorded as not believing the women. In fact, they describe it as an idle tale. Now, you have to think, if this was in fact a true fraud and they were trying to make people think that Jesus had risen from the dead, why would they not believe that very story? They didn't. There were two that are on the road to Emmaus. And they had spoke directly to the Lord without recognizing him at first. They went to tell the apostles, and nobody believed them. So one of the first encounters of the Lord Jesus after he's been raised is to say to the woman Mary Magdalene, "Hail, why are you weeping?" Now this is the part of that third day that I want you to begin to think about. Here's the Lord Jesus, who the Jews believed was supposed to be the king, the Messiah, and was supposed to reign and rule over the whole world. And instead he was killed. But he comes back from the dead. And by the way, he and anyone else that ever came back from the dead have never recorded anything about what heaven's like, as if that was unimportant. Well, it's because they never got there. They were in the ground, and they were raised. But the point is, what Jesus does, he shows concern over a woman weeping. He doesn't establish himself as this mighty ruler and king. He shows concern over a woman weeping. And he tries to comfort her. When she recognizes that this is in fact the Lord Jesus, whom she has known for over a period of 3 years, prior to that, she's overjoyed. She can't do anything but try to hang on to him, not let him go. And Jesus quietly says to her, and to, I think there was another woman that was there also holding on to him, "It's okay. Tell them I'll be there in Galilee." Now here's this same Jesus, and I think this is what I kind of have to marvel about it again. He's been given all power in heaven and earth, all authority. And yet, here's what he does. Luke chapter, let me see here, 24, verses 13, all the way through 56. "That very day, two of them," and we don't know who them are, "but we're going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And talking with each other about all the things that had happened," and by the way, there was a lot that had happened that particular week, the week that the Lord Jesus was killed. "And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them." A very simple action. He drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He said to them, "What is this conversation which you are holding with each other as you walk?" They stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened in these days?" And he says to them, "What things?" Now, Jesus knew what had happened. Of course, he lived right through them. He was a part of them. Why is he asking these questions? Because he wants to see their love. He wants to hear it in their words and in their heart. They said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. And we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since this happened. And moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, did not find the body, and they came back saying they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Here he is, even though he calls them foolish men, he takes the time to open up the scriptures and show them where it was prophesied that he was to be killed and crucified and suffer. So they drew near the village to which they were going. He appeared to be going further, but they constrained him, saying, Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose that same hour, returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 gathered together, and those who were with them, who said, The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told him what had happened on the road and how he had been known to them in the breaking of bread. In the Gospel of Mark, there's a scripture there that talks about how the Lord rebukes them for not believing the women when they had come and told them. And he gave them a warning. It says, if you do not believe, you will be condemned. If you believe, you will have eternal life. And he gave them commission to go out and preach to the world the good news of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God to come. And now even here, after the two from Emmaus joined the 11, as they were saying this, Jesus himself stood among them, but they were startled and frightened and supposed that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, Why are you troubled? Why do questionings rise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit is not flesh and bones, as you see that I have. And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said to them, Have you anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before him. Again, the one who's been given all authority in heaven and on earth, and he's sitting here eating a broiled fish with them. Just to show them that he's real, that he's alive, that he's been risen. And then again, he says, These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer, and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with the power from on high. And we go to the Gospel of John. Now, whether this all happened on the third day, I'm not sure. But He spent at least what seems to be 50 days with them after he was raised. And this is one of the things that he did. Chapter 21 of John, Giovanni 21. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said, "We'll go with you." They went out to get into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said, "Well, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in for the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his clothes, for he was stripped for work, and sprang into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Peter was definitely excited. He just jumped right out of that boat, swam or walked or whatever. He got there. The rest came. Now watch this. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. Jesus was cooking. The one who has all power and authority over heaven and earth is cooking breakfast. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you've caught." Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And all there was so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When we sang in the song, "We Shall Be Like Him," do you think that being like him means that we're going to go and barbecue some fish on a beach? Do you think we're going to go and stand by a weeping woman and try to comfort her? Are we going to try to shake some people silly saying, "Why don't you believe?" And I don't mean that in a harsh, mean way. Are we going to say, "I'm real. Touch me." And even here at this time, Jesus takes the time to take a personal note with Peter. Remember, Peter had denied him 3 times, and now 3 times he asks him, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Until Peter gets exasperated and says, "Yes, you know that I love me." And each time he tells them either to tend his sheep. Feed his sheep. Or feed my lambs. And he tells them that it's going to be hard for you and you may end up dying in a way that you never had hoped or expected. But this you must do for these sheep. And some of these sheep are those that are not of this fold. And some of the sheep are not of this fold. There are sheep out there that we don't know. We need to be tending them. You say, how are you going to do that? With prayer. By acting the way Jesus did. Loving. There are lots of other things the Apostle Paul, John rather, says to us that Jesus did, and were every one of them written, I suppose the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. We have just a few. Finally, in Acts chapter 1, we see the Lord departs. They ask about the kingdom being restored to Israel, and he says, the Father has set the time, it is not for you to know. And they are looking up to heaven, and the angels say, men of Galilee, in verse 11, why do you stand looking into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come and do the same as you saw him go into heaven, will come in the same way. So here's some thoughts. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. This is what Jesus is looking for. Verse 35 through 37. Luca Dorici. 35 a 37. Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the marriage feast, so that they may open at once when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake. When he comes, truly I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit at table, and he will come and serve them. So if the Lord finds you taking care of people, finds you taking care of those here in the ecclesia, finds you serving, he will serve you in the kingdom. And verses 42 through 44. And the Lord said, who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Truly, I tell you, he will set him over all his possessions. Are you joyous at his coming? Are you joyous at the coming of each of your brethren? Are you weeping that he's away? Are you remembering that he said he would be with you until the close of the age? Do you believe that he's returning? And are you getting up early every morning in heart and mind and spirit in the love of Christ? Looking for him. Come, Lord Jesus, come.